If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I always seek the Lord, of course, for every message, but particularly for the first message of a new year. I believe it's good to start out well. It's important how you finish, very important how you finish. But contributing to how you finish is how you start out. Yes. And, you know, what we can do about last year is nothing. Right? Over and done with. Good, bad, in the middle. But this is a clean slate. A new beginning. And so we want to begin well. Deuteronomy chapter 11. We'll read from verse 10. God is speaking to the Israelites. He says, "The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word." The title of my message today is Possessing Your Future. Possessing Your Future. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 11, the entire book of Deuteronomy is a one long message by Moses. God had already decreed that Moses would not enter the promised land with the nation, but he is speaking to them, preparing them to enter in to the promised land, to prepare for a new beginning, if you will. And just as they stood poised to enter into a new beginning, so do we at the beginning of a new year. And, you know, we don't need to say a whole lot about 2020. As a matter of fact, a lot of the things from 2020, the COVID and et cetera, are still ongoing. And we've said enough about that pretty much. But one thing I want to make clear this morning is that as we enter a new year, God does not just want us to limp into a new year. God does not want us to have the mentality that we will just be swept along by things that are outside of our control. Now, I know there are a lot of things that are outside our control. And 2020 highlighted that, but the fact of the matter is it's always been that way, hasn't it? There have always been things that are beyond our control. Nevertheless, God does not want us to have the mentality that we're just going to be swept along by currents of life around us and that we have no part to play, that the future will just descend on us like some predetermined fate. Oh, no. Just as God spoke to Israel on the verge of entering the promised land, I believe God wants to speak to us today. How many are ready to hear a word from the Lord? Amen. It's not important because I say it. It's important because God says it. Amen. And so I have a word from the Lord for you today about possessing your future. The part that you and I play in moving into the destiny that God has for us. And make no mistake about it. God has a destiny for each and every one of us. A destiny for our entire lives, but particularly at this moment, a destiny for 2021. And so this morning, for the next few minutes, I want to answer the question, what must we do to not just limp along, not just be swept along into the future, but what must we do to possess our future? You see, Israel was entering a land that God had promised them as their possession. And I believe God has a possession for you and me. God has something for which of which we need to take hold in 2021. What must we do to possess our future? The very first thing we need to do is remember. We need to remember. Look at verse number 2 of Deuteronomy 11. The Lord says, "Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed, and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country. What he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the desert until you arrived at this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done." The Lord is speaking to the nation, and he's saying this. He's saying, you need to remember not just your recent past, but you need to remember the totality of what I have done for you. You know, we may look back on the previous year and say, boy, there's not really a lot to be excited about. And, you know, it was such a tough year and this and that. But, you know, our memories get really short sometimes, don't they? Don't they? You know, there's something called recency bias. You know, from time to time, there will be polls about the greatest athletes in history. ESPN or some other agency will do a poll. And inevitably, with a few exceptions, the athletes or the events that rate highest in these polls are all of a recent vintage, all within the last 10, 20, 30 years, neglecting the superior events and athletes that took place, 60, 70, even 100 years ago. And we're like that. The saying, "What have you done for me lately?" Now, I submit to you that even in a tough year like 2020, God did a lot of wonderful things for us. Like the video said, he taught us a lot and brought us through a lot. And you know, it's 2021 and here we are. But in addition to that, let's not make the mistake of looking at the tough times and forget all that God has done for us. The Lord pointed back to, Israel had their struggles in the desert, but the Lord pointed back and said, remember how I brought the plagues on Egypt and how I caused Pharaoh to let you go so you could serve me and worship me. Remember what the Lord has done. You know, our primary focus should be toward the future, but every once in a while it's good to look back and remember. Has God been good to you? Has God been good to you? Has God blessed you? Has he met your needs? Has he bestowed blessing upon you far beyond what you deserve? He sure has for me. I don't ever want to be guilty of being ungrateful or unthankful, or having a recency bias, or having a short-term memory and forgetting how good God has been to me my entire life. I can never thank him enough. You talk about a long message. I keep you here for hours telling you about the goodness of God to me and to my family. And I bet a lot of you could too. Let's remember how good God has been. He's faithful. He's loving. He's compassionate. He's ever present. As one song said, he's as close as the mention of his name. We need to remember this morning. Let's not forget the blessings of God. Let's not forget the goodness of God. And you know, a great way to remember how good God has been to you is to tell somebody. And say, yeah, there have been some hard times. There have been some struggles. But let me tell you about how good God has been to me. Let me tell you how God has blessed me. Come on, church, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot of blessings to recount and to never forget. You know, there are things so momentous in life that we say we're never going to forget. In the 1800s, it was Remember the Alamo. In World War II, it was Remember Pearl Harbor. After 9/11, we heard a lot and still hear, we will never, never, ever forget. How about never, ever forgetting the goodness of God, the blessings of God? Heard a story about an old man who would visit an old broken pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida every Friday night until his death in 1973. He'd walk slowly along the beach and with a stooped posture, he would dip into a large bucket of shrimp and feed the seagulls. The background of that story is that many years before, in October 1942, Captain Eddie Rittenbacher was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour, and Rickenbacker's plane crashed into the South Pacific. And he and those who were with him survived the crash, but they became lost beyond the reach of radio. And they would be in their life raft fighting the water, the weather, the scorching sun. Sharks would come and hammer their raft. The largest one was 10 feet long. But of all their enemies at sea, the most formidable was starvation. And Captain Rittenbacher tells about one afternoon they hadn't eaten in days. And he says the captain read the service that afternoon. We finished with a prayer for deliverance, a hymn of praise. He said there was some talk, but it tapered off because it was just so hot. He said, I pulled my cap down over my eyes. I felt something land on my head. And instinctively, he says, I knew it was a seagull. I could see all the eyes of those with me focusing on it. He said, if I could just capture that seagull, that might spare our lives. And he did capture it. And seagull might not seem like much food for several men, but it helped them survive, and they used the intestines of the bird to as bait to catch fish. And they were able to survive that situation. And so for many, many years, till his death, every Friday night, Captain Rittenbacher would go to the beach and feed the seagulls out of thanks for the one that spared his life. He said he would always remember. See, the truth of the matter is many difficulties that come in life actually become blessings. They become good things. In his book, Future Church, Ministry in a Post-Seeker Age, Jim Wilson writes about having cancer and losing his voice. And he actually says that now it's something he's grateful for. He said, today, if God said to me, I'll give you that year back, you can go back to a cancer-free state, you can relive the year without your voice and without cancer, but you'll never know the loyalty you experienced from a church that stood beside you, or the love that you came to know from your bride who lived her wedding vows in sickness and in health, and you will never know that your brokenness is covered with my grace. He said, no, thank you. I'll keep the experience as it is. Out of brokenness, he said, I found peace. You see, gratitude to God, thankfulness to God, is not just something that's appropriate when everything goes well. In the midst of our worst situations, and we've experienced a lot as a church and as individuals, in the midst of them, we can look back and we can remember how good God has been. So as we primarily look forward, let's take a glance back and remember and be thankful. Amen? Amen. What's the second thing we need to understand to possess our future, it's this: resolve. Resolve. Now, I know what you're going to say, Pastor Tim. You know, this is a time people are notorious for making resolutions. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I wonder how many of us here today have made resolutions. Or maybe I should ask for hands and say, how many have just given up altogether on the idea of resolutions? If so, it's understandable. Because we make them on the first, and most of them are broken by about, the second. If they survive that long. But, you know, whether it's a new year or not, I believe that resolve is important. I believe we need to resolve to do certain things. I believe we need to have a steely determination to follow through with certain things in life. Don't you? I believe it's critical to possessing the future that God has for us. And the Lord here instructs Israel to resolve to do certain things. There's nothing here about weight loss or getting in shape. So everybody breathe a sigh of relief. Okay? You want to deal with those holiday cookies you ate and everything. That's a good resolution. But that's not what we're talking about here. But he told them to resolve to do three things. First of all, they needed to resolve, and we need to resolve to obey. The Lord said, as you're entering this land that I have promised you, as you are possessing your future, you need to resolve to obey. In verse 8, he said, observe all the commands I am giving you today. You know, that's a constant that has never changed since the Garden of Eden. Our loving, gracious Heavenly Father, and He is that, amen, has always put a premium on obedience of His people. It's never become optional. It's never become a matter of preference or a matter of convenience or a matter of doing it when it suits us. God has always and continues to always expect obedience from us. It's very, very simple. There are certain things in life, as we know, that come our way no matter what we do, because that's life. But I also know this. There are things that we bring on ourselves. I'm not saying everything, but there are some things, let's be honest, we bring on ourselves because we decide on particular issues or in particular instances, we decide to do things our own way instead of God's way. Is that true? I know that's not going to excite you this morning, but the truth sometimes doesn't. And I know I can look back in my own life and find times when the things that came my way weren't just circumstance, but they were a result of my disobedience. And again, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but perhaps you can as well. God had detailed all the blessings He would pour out on them in comparison to how they struggled in Egypt. Man, this was a land flowing with milk and honey. This was a land that would yield its produce. It was going to be a land of blessing. It was going to be a land of fruitfulness. It was going to be a joyful place to live. But they needed to resolve to obey. This morning, at the beginning of a new year, and technically, this is the beginning of a new decade. Did you know that? If strictly speaking, the year with the one in it is the beginning of a new decade. At the beginning of the new year and the new decade, how's your obedience quotient? Are you ready, willing, and able to say, yes, Lord? You say, Pastor Tim, well, it depends on the question. No, it doesn't. He's our Lord. He's God. Yes, Lord. Observe the commands. Resolve to obey. I believe we can expect God to do great and awesome things in our lives if we renew our resolve to say, Lord, I'm going to do my very, very best to obey you, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what it costs me, no matter how inconvenient or how difficult it is, no matter if anyone else understands or supports me or gets angry at me, it doesn't matter. Lord, if you say it, I'm going to obey it. Amen. Resolve to obey. Secondly, he instructs them to resolve to act. Resolved to act. He said, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. In the book after Deuteronomy, the book of Joshua, it details how Joshua and the nation of Israel had to go in and take possession of the land. You say, well, I'm confused, Pastor Tim. God gave them the land. Yes, he gave it to them, but he told them they had to go in and possess it. They had to take action. How many know there are certain things that God requires of us in order to obtain the blessing that he has for us? So they needed to resolve to go in and take the land. How about you in 2021? Are there things in your life you would like to see happen? Are there things in your life that you want to change? Some things God has to do, we know that. But what things do you need to do? You know what they say? The definition of insanity is to do the same thing and expect different results. What might God have you to do to step into and possess your future? They had to resolve to act. They had to resolve to do something. Now, there are things God will tell us to do. I talked about that, obedience. But there are things we just know to do. Is that right? There are things we know we need to do. And they kind of nag us at the back of our heads, and we kind of drown it out with other things, but we know we need to act. What do you need to do to move forward? What do you need to do to possess the land that God has given to you? Yes, God wants to give it to you, but you and I play a part. That's the way it's always been. You and I play a part in possessing the land he has for us. Are you ready to act? Are you ready to do what God wants you to do? You know, at the wedding of Cana, Jesus' mother Mary said to the servants when they were out of wine, you know the story. Speaking of Jesus, she said to them, whatever he says to you, do it. Resolve to act. Resolve to be a doer in 2021. Amen? Thirdly, resolve to focus. In verse 16, he said, be careful or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. They had to focus. We need to resolve, if we are to possess the future God has for us, we need to resolve to let nothing turn us aside. One of the biggest problems in keeping resolutions is we get distracted. How many know distractions are a huge problem in our Christian lives? Distractions. Things that... And there are a million and one distractions that will crop up in your life and my life that will be just enough to get us a little bit off track of the path God has for us. So, Pastor Tim, you're talking about sin. Not necessarily. How many know there are things that aren't inherently sinful? They don't violate a moral law. The only problem is they grab our attention and they are relatively worthless and unimportant things in the big scheme, but they grab our attention and get our mind and our focus off of what's important in life and what God has for us. Anyone ever been distracted? Come on, it's just us here. Us and whoever's watching online. We know you're there. We get distracted. And so God said to them, resolve to focus. Be careful how you live. Don't let other things distract you or turn you aside. Resolve. Resolve. On January 1st, 1863, the final draft of the Emancipation Proclamation was taken to President Abraham Lincoln at noon. Two times he picked up his pen to sign it, and both times he laid it down. And turning to Secretary of State William Seward, he said, "You know, I've been shaking hands since 9 o'clock this morning, and my right arm," he said, "is almost paralyzed." He said, "If my name ever goes down in history," isn't that quite a statement from the greatest president we've ever had? He said, "If my name ever goes down in history, it will go down for this act, the Emancipation Proclamation. And I don't want there to be any evidence in my signature that I hesitated. I want it to be firm. I want it to show resolve." And he picked up his pen a third time and very firmly and resolutely signed his name, Abraham Lincoln, to the proclamation that would free the slaves. He became known after that as the Great Emancipator. Now, the vast majority of us will never become famous. Some of you may. But the vast majority of us won't. But I believe we need to have that same type of resolve, that same type of determination that says, "Lord, I'm going to obey you, whatever you say. Doesn't matter if it pleases my flesh or even pleases those around me, I'm going to obey. Lord, I'm going to act. I'm going to be a doer. I'm going to play my part in possessing my future, and I am going to focus. I am going to remove distractions." What distractions are there in your life right now? What things grab your focus away from what God would have you to do? We need to resolve to focus on what God would have us to do. So to possess our future, we need to remember and resolve, and thirdly, receive. Receive. Verse 13 says, "So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied." The Lord said to the nation, "If you are obedient and follow after my ways, I will give you rain for your land in its season. I will send grass in your fields for your livestock." In other words, the promise is that he would pour blessings out upon them. How many know God loves to bless us? He's not stingy. He's not vindictive. He is a God who loves to bless. Now, I know that truth has been, taken out of context and stretched out of all proportion. And some people teach that to say there should be nothing negative in our lives. As we just said, the Bible doesn't teach that. But make no mistake about it. God wants to bless you in 2021. God has blessed us, as I said, in 2020. Sometimes we just weren't ready to see it because we were focused on the negative. But as we begin a brand new year, a brand new decade, I want you to know God wants to bless you. God wants to give. The scripture says God loves to give good gifts to his children. Do we understand that this morning? God wants to bless you. Pastor Tim, does that mean financially? Yes. Doesn't mean you'll become a millionaire or a billionaire. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But he promised to meet your needs. He promised to sustain you. And he will bless you financially. But it's so much more than that. He will bless your relationships. He will bless whatever you set your hand to do. Have you known people that just, now we know everybody has problems. Some people just don't publish them, you know, don't publicize them. We think, oh, they don't have a problem in the world. Yes, they do. You just might not know about it. But have you ever known people that just seems like the blessing of God is upon them? Whatever they set their hand to do, they prosper. There's a reason for that. God loves to bless and to prosper and to pour out good things upon his children. Need to be ready to receive. There is no end to the blessings and the good things God wants to pour out on your life. In a remote mountainside in Norway, there is what is known as the Doomsday Vault. It's a storage facility that protects and stocks seeds. You thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? That stocks seeds that could be used to replant, basically, the world. Inside the frozen repository, there are seeds of almost every kind of plant. Now, there have been other attempts at this, and wars and a typhoon have destroyed other seed banks. But this remote location can withstand, I'm told, earthquakes and even nuclear strikes. It contains things like mold-resistant beans, a German pink tomato, whatever that is, wild strawberries, and seeds of just about everything. They're considered so valuable that anyone wishing to access them has to pass through four locked doors, including two keyed airlock doors. The executive director of the Global Diversity Trust, Carrie Fowler, said the site is a fail-safe backup to be used whenever a depositing seed bank loses part or all of its collection. Well, you know, that sounds like a pretty great thing, doesn't it? I'm glad that somewhere in Norway there are seeds that can be used if ever a disaster strikes. But you know, far greater than some super secret, super protected seed bank on a mountain in Norway is the storehouse of Almighty God. His supplies are limitless. There's no end. You know that scripture in Malachi that God, where God said, you know, if you're faithful in giving the tithe and giving me what's mine, he said, I will throw open the windows of heaven. He said, I'll pour out blessings on you that you don't have room for, that you can't contain. That's what that means. I will bless you to overflowing. I will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. And again, that includes materially, but it's not just that. I will bless your relationships. I will bless your plans as long as you submit them to me. I will bless you in every way conceivable. We just need to be ready to receive. How about you this year? Is 2021 going to be another year just to limp on through? Just to get by? What a terrible way to live. Well, by God's grace, I just hope I can struggle and muddle through 2021. Well, what's the blessing in that? Well, then I get to muddle through 2022. I don't want to muddle through, do you? I want the blessing of God on my life. I want the blessing of God on your lives. I want the blessing of God on this church. There's no limit in heaven's storehouse. There's no limit to the blessings that God has for you and for me. Are we ready to receive? Yes. I want you to just throw out all the negativity in your life right now. I'm not saying we deny reality. I'm not saying that. But I want you to believe God that you will receive everything you need and more besides, because He is such a good God, such a loving Heavenly Father. Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night. In other words, everything we need. Will trials come? Absolutely. We know that. But the blessings will come as well. The grace to bear up under the trial will come as well. The sun will rise every morning. The rain will fall when we need it. The blessings of God will rain down on your life and mine. That's the word of God. We need to be willing to receive. So as we face this coming year, let's not just limp into it. Let's not just have the mindset that we're going to be swept along. Yes, things will happen beyond our control. That's called life. But we're not just going to be swept along. We're going to possess our future. Amen? We talked about praying and spending time with God. For some of us, as I said, that may be a struggle. Man, let's resolve to do that. anything we can. And there are other things that God will speak into our hearts. What must we do to possess our future? We need to remember God's goodness and God's promises, the things He has done before for us. We need to remember His faithfulness. We need to resolve to obey every word He says, to act, to be a doer in 2021. We need to resolve to focus and not let worthless things distract us from what God has for our lives. And we need to possess our future to receive, to have a mindset that says, Lord, I'm going to receive. I'm going to be a recipient of Your blessing because You desire to pour it out upon my life. We serve a good God. Hallelujah. I say this every year. This is going to be the best year ever. Amen. Pastor Tim, you said that last year in 2020 was, you know. I submit to you in many ways it was the best year ever. Though it might be a little hard to see. 2021 will be the best year ever. Why? Because God is a God of the now. God is a God of blessing. God is a God who loves us. He will guide us. He will provide for us. Amen? Amen. Let's possess our future.